So thank you, everyone who are calling in and on the phone. My name is Ajamu Baraka. I want to welcome everybody on behalf of the Continuations Committee of the Black Left Unity Network and the Labor Working Group of the U.S. Human Rights Network to the second national dialogue to address the very, very important issue that has emerged here in this country around this Occupy Wall Street motion and the relationship of this motion to Black left forces, people of color forces at this time here in this country. We had a call about 2 weeks ago where we provided a space for folks to talk about this motion and to assess how we were relating to this, to address some of the issues and concerns that we're raising, and to look at some of the strategies that we could employ to ensure that this motion was moving in a direction that would be valuable to all of us who are concerned about social justice and transformation here in this country. It was decided that we would do a few things. One was that we would send information into the Black Left Unity Network webpage, reports on what was happening in our localities. We said we would follow up with getting involved in the Black Left Unity Network listserv. We said that we would summarize what happened from the last call and send that information out, which we did. And there was a decision that we should check in again in about 2 weeks to give people an opportunity again to check in, share information, and to continue this critical discussion on this movement here in this country. So we are, in fact, doing this. This is what we try to do as a Black Left Unity process, as we try to build and expand the Black Left Progressive motion here in the country. So we have a process, again, the way we are trying to manage the technology. We have folks who are on mute. When we go through the agenda, we will get to the discussion, the question and answer section. We will ask you at that point to hit star one, and that will allow me to see that you have a question or a comment, and then I can unmute you and you can participate in this conversation. We're going to try not to be too mechanical with this, so there's a certain flow. We'll let folks who have been acknowledged or identified to make their comments. So to get us started, we're going to start with Sister Shaki, who is going to provide some framing questions that we're going to be looking for here as we go forward. Shaki, are you unmuted?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Good afternoon, everybody. So we had three questions we wanted to put forward for this afternoon's conversation to kind of help us focus. The first question is, has the character of the Occupy Wall Street movement changed since our last call? And if it has, in what ways and what kind of concerns and challenges do we see, you know, at this particular point? Number two, are Black workers and community groups holding meetings with each other and other groups of color to plan activities in our own community, in the Black community, to link the anti-capitalism sentiment that has been expressed in the Occupy Wall Street movement and the slogans that have, you know, come forward, like, you know, we are the 99% and showing that the capitalist nature of the 1% and showing the capitalist system as the source of the problem. So are we meeting together in our communities? And the last question to help us focus is, has there been repression? Have we seen repression against the Occupy Wall Street encampment? And have there been any actions of resistance in the black communities? Have people heard about, and are they trying to relate to the call for a general strike that's been made by the labor activists who have been active in the Occupy Wall Street motion in Oakland? How are we relating to that, or what do people think about that? So those are the three questions. Was that clear enough, Brother John?
Yeah, that was very clear, and thank you, Sister Shaki. So we're going to start off with some very short comments, updates from Brother Kenneth Snodgrass from Detroit. Kenneth, can you go ahead and share with us what you are seeing and observing, participating in Detroit?
Yes, thank you. I think that one of the things which is similar to what's taking place all over the country right now is that people are amazed about what took place initially as far as OWS is concerned. And I think we are now moving into a movement active period which we can take advantage of. Even though we may look at what organizations are taking place as far as Occupation Detroit or Occupation in New York, Occupation, et cetera, that we can recognize that during this movement period, we can take our particular organization whichever way we want to take it, which is based on how we see it. I see limitations, and I see issues being raised, but I also see limitations in regards to people's disenchantment with what's taking place right now as far as the 99.1% thing doesn't necessarily question the economic system of capitalism. And here in Detroit, I think the particular demonstration that we carried out, there was different people from various organizations that came together that had already existed as far as unions and religious groups, organizations that already existed. There was individual groups that already existed. There was individuals who came forth to raise issues because they felt their concern to continue to raise this because of the national momentum that's taking place in regards to the OWS. You also had the input of national radical organizations that already existed, like the Workers' Party and different socialist organizations that exist, all came together to carry out the demonstration that we carried out downtown to challenge the whole question of occupying Detroit and to raise the issues of people being evicted from their homes and challenging the banks on that particular issue, which a lot of people this city is being hit very, very hard by that situation. So I think one of the things is catching a lot of people off guard. But I try to talk to people, and when I talk to them, I try to point out that what we call occupying Wall Street or occupying the city that we're in, I tell people, as far as I'm concerned, it just was, to me, was, again, a new name for the sit-ins that we carried out all over the country during the civil rights movement. And during the black power struggles that took place in the 60s, the 70s, and the early 90s. And that sort of demystifies this whole situation. I also think that when we came together and did that particular demonstration, there's nothing else playing so far here in the city of Detroit. But I think us as revolutionists, as we can see the question that we always the importance of giving leadership and organizing the situations in front of us so that we can continue to give political and intellectual leadership to it. So what we do, no matter which direction the OWS takes, we can continue to take advantage of this momentum right now to push the particular direction that we want to in our communities and across the country. So I think that's important that we continue to understand that we don't have to depend on the mass media for that. If they don't even mention our issue, then we take advantage of the propaganda aspects that's in front of us to do what we can through our own mass media that's now been is available to us through our own literature, through the YouTube, through the Facebook, from organizing meetings and demonstrations, et cetera, on that line.
Brother, we appreciate those comments. We're going to come back to your report. I'm going to ask that we move to Sister Christina, if she's on the line. I don't see you, your name, Christina. If you are there, can you hit star one so I can recognize you? Okay, so let's move to Brother Clarence Thomas from Oakland. Now, the same thing, Clarence. Can you hit star one? Okay. Okay, Brother Clarence?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Yes, my brother. So we're looking for your report.
Oh, well, you know, I hope that everybody was following what happened yesterday. We had, first of all, I think that, I'm sorry, I have something in my mouth. I haven't eaten all day. But I think the first thing that we need to talk about is that the outpouring of support that we saw from various sectors of the community was totally unprecedented. I don't know what the numbers are, but I know that there were thousands of people, and these are obviously not folks who are part of the Occupy Oakland movement at all. But this thing is really resonated. I think that one of the things I want to say very clearly is that this call for a general strike came directly from the People's Assembly and Occupy Oakland. And it was done in 1 week's time, in response to the Oakland, the October 25th attack on the Occupy Oakland encampment. And so in just 1 week's time, this has happened. And, of course, you know, in various sectors of the labor movement, there were these comments, oh, this is really incredible. They can't really do this. This can't really happen. But essentially, the city of Oakland was shut down for the whole day, and the fifth largest port was shut down on the night shift, and plus a lot of longshoremen did not work on the morning shift. But inasmuch as the ILWU Local 10, which I am a member, had not, we're a democratic union, and so we just can't make pronouncements about, you know, supporting general strikes and whatnot without first of all having a union meeting, and we had just had our union meeting, you know, before this call for general strike was announced. Having said that, we don't cross picket lines, and we didn't cross one yesterday. It was quite something to see. I think that this was really the first real manifestation of people's power in the 21st century. Because they called for a general strike, and what that did, it forced organized labor to have to respond to the call because the rank and file wanted to respond to it. So you had such innocuous kinds of activity as the Central Labor Council of Alameda County. They provided food for everyone who attended. And I know they couldn't have provided food for everybody because it was, I don't know how many thousands of people were there. But suffice it to say that they had to at least do that. But then organizations like SEIU 1021, they were actually able to get major concessions from the city administrator of the city of Oakland, so that all of their members who were city workers were able to have the day off, able to use various kinds of leave with the exception of sick leave. But then other city workers who weren't members of SEIU also had that same privilege. So this was really unprecedented. And all this came in just a week's time. Let's see, the other thing that I think is really incredible here is that we're seeing new formations of coalitions and alliances. Many of the people who are involved in the Occupy Oakland movement, I can't speak for what's going on in other parts of the country, they're basically anarchists. But I was confronted with certain kinds of stereotypes that people have of the anarchist movement, that, you know, they're about direct action, breaking windows and things of that nature. And then I was told, hey, that's not that some people do that, but we all don't do that. And so I have witnessed with my own eyes seeing that, you know, people of this group who've been now interfacing with trade union activists, and in some instances trained, I'll say union officials. I don't know about trade union leaders. There's a difference between a union official and a trade union leader. I think we all could agree to that. But there's new formations. But one of the things that I have to say that I've got to learn about this Occupy Oakland movement is the growing presence of the African American community. I would say 30 to 40%, and also now what we're witnessing is that people are starting to provide services like this: free food, free medical care. It's the camps are very well organized, and it seems as if a lot of brothers, you know, who might be doing other kinds of things, have really found a home, and they really are contributing to the camp. Just last Friday, documentarian Michael Moore showed up at Occupy Oakland with a lot of fanfare and so forth. And he made a comment. He said, you know, I've been, you know, I wrote, you know, Capitalism, A Love Story. He said, but I didn't come up with any with any responses, you know, to how to fight this. And just on a just in terms of giving people some idea as to what it was like in Oakland yesterday, I mean, a very multicultural, but some people like to use the term diverse. I mean, it was really that. Different generations, young people, old people. I mean, you know, college students. I mean, it was amazing. But they had this black banner, and it was right on 14th and Broadway. It's about 100 feet wide. And it said, death to capitalism. Oh. And it just, you thought that you were in another country. I mean, just very explicit signs of anti-capitalism. It was very, very moving. We, of course, were very concerned about seeing that that port was going to be shut down. And the union is under a great deal of pressure for having shut down the port for 24 hours on the anniversary of Dr. King's assassination, in solidarity with the Wisconsin workers. Our union was sued by the employer, and threats of secondary boycott, and a whole lot of other things. The charges were dropped, but we had a ruling of a work stoppage against us. And so now with this situation in Longview, Washington, where longshoremen are being threatened with the loss of their jobs that they've done for 77 years by a company by the name of EGT, which is an export grain company is what it is. But one of the primary movers of that partnership is a company called Bunge, which is now headquartered in White Plains, New York. It's an international food and grain conglomerate. Well, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because one of the reasons for the shutdown of the port was to express solidarity with the longshore workers in Longview, because Bunge represents the face of Wall Street and the workplace. So I think that labor's participation, specifically my involvement and other people from labor at the rank and file level, is, you know, contributing to this movement and giving access. We got plenty of access now. I mean, you know, this hasn't been a thing where we've had difficulty. They do have a process by which they make decisions, and some of us, especially those of us who've been involved in the trade union movement for any number of years, who go by Robert Rules of Order and all that sort of thing, this is rather different because the way that they make decisions by consensus. However, having said that, I believe that what they were able to do yesterday by making the call really raised the bar. And I guess in conclusion, I would just like to say this, that I think that this movement is global and is grassroots, and anybody can get on board to do whatever they want to do. I mean, I was just reading an article here in our local newspaper where they had described a guy who's a 42-year unemployed software engineer and a self-described conservative. He was out there yesterday because he said that, how did he describe it? He said that the system has run amok. Now, he claims that he thinks that capitalism works when it works family. I know fairly. I know that's an oxymoron, but so be it. But he says it's not working for him, so he wants to be out there with the people to express his disenchantment. And furthermore, he said that he thought that people need to put the things that divide them aside because they're more that binds us in common. And I thought that was a very interesting point. But the last point I want to make is, and I think we need to pay particular attention to this, and that is you are finding a growing presence of military veterans at these encampments. And I know that we had the guy, Scott Olson, who was hit in the head with a projectile canister, I guess it's from tear gas, and he was in critical condition. He's now off the critical list, but he received a terrible concussion. And so this really did resonate all around the world. And so now what you're finding is that these military veterans have a very strong presence at these camps. And they're saying, hey, we're here because many of us are coming home. We don't have jobs. We're homeless. So this thing is moving very, very quickly, and I'm just glad to see that black folks getting involved. The Coalition of Black Trade Unionists was out there yesterday too, in the Bay Area. So
well, that's
I was glad to see CBTU. I'm going to wrap it up now. There's so much more than I can say, but that gives you an overview.
We appreciate that, brother, and I'm sure that folks will come back to you with questions where you have a chance to elaborate some more. So thanks a lot for that report. Before we go into a more generalized discussion, I'm going to ask. We had a couple of folks who might want to take a couple of minutes, 2 minutes, to give us a quick update on what may be happening in their area. I know that I think we have some folks from Chicago, and I think someone wanted to talk about what happened in Seattle. If that's the case, please hit star one so I can recognize you, and we can take your very quick report before we go into the next part of our call. So, again, hit star one. And while we're doing that, just, again, another quick update. We want to manage this process, so we're asking folks that when it's time to get into the conversation that you hit star one so I can recognize you and allow you to share with the group. So we have, I think, Brother Tondabatu, who is going to share with us. Brother, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Well, I think the main thing I want to say at this point is that here in Gary in Northwest Indiana, we are beginning rather slowly. We had our second rally last Saturday. We are going to be having our third rally on this coming Saturday, as well as an expression of opposition to Chase Bank on Friday afternoon. We're building slowly because of the level of participation here, the level of organization is still not what we want it to be. But we are seeing a number of folks step out I think our first rally we had somewhere like 30, 35 folks at its height, and it was very diverse from 15 to 65 and up, black, white, Latino. Last Saturday we had a similar kind of turnout with more people coming out. I think it might have been 45, maybe even 50 at its height. And our intention is to continue to rally and get the word out and try to do organizing, you know, in the black community and have other people organize in their own communities until we get, you know, a sufficient number of folks that we might be able to choose some other sorts of tactics. One of the things that we're clear about here is that occupying, just like sitting in or doing some other kind of action, this is a tactic. And we have not, as a whole, decided that we are actually going to try to set up a camp. But what we are trying to do is relate to the ongoing motion as best we can. So I think I can just let it go with that.
Brother, we appreciate those comments, and I'm sure that you have a chance to add some more. In particular, you know, how people may be framing some of these issues. I know that, you know, you have a strong background in the human rights framework, and it might be valuable to hear from you at some point to talk about how people might be thinking about or actually even framing some of the issues that are being raised. So thanks a lot. We have Royce Adams. You have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we had a very Hello?
Go ahead. You're on.
Hello? I'm on?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. We had a very exciting day here yesterday in Philadelphia. I think you probably got some of the stuff off the news or the Internet where there were arrests down at the Comcast building. And the occupational movement here is going well. I mean, we're consistent with what's taking place throughout the country. And I think it's a good level of class conscious here because I can recall back October 15th, I remember that date because my international president, Harold Daggett, had came on board. The people at the occupation was approached me saying, hey, man, your international president is on board. And so I said, that was great, you know, being in tune with, I think if anybody saw Democracy Now! Yesterday or the day before, Clarence, excuse me, brother, you're doing a great job, had mentioned the participation of his international president, Bobby Galworth, and the Teamsters, Jimmy Hoffa. Now, not to go to Philadelphia, I wanted to speak about what's taking place in the ILA. Because right now we have people, I talk to people in the South, they're talking about the occupational movement is going well, but they need more participation of longshore workers because we have in the International Longshoremen's Association, we have a middle-class union official. That's what I classify them. And right now there's a battle to put things together. But what's going to take place, I would believe, as we start structuring up for what the role of labor plays in this here, we're going to make our international accountable. And so we're working from port to port to see if we can get our energies together to really make a profound statement because there was so much excitement from what took place yesterday in Oakland. I mean, I went into the job, and I mean, you just to see people just so happy that people in Oakland did what they did, and I have to say this, what Clarence was doing, he was like a vanguard part of that, and everybody know the militancy of Local 10 and the whole maritime industry, so people are ready to come on board. I talked with people, and I just got a call from Puerto Rico an hour ago. They're going to meet with the Federation of Puerto Rican Labor to put them on board with the entire occupational movement for longshoremen and all the labor in Puerto Rico. So it's exciting, and I think we're going to see more, like what my membership is telling me, you're going to see more of this, particularly in maritime ports. And I would say this here, maybe we want to go on plan that, like Oakland, we might have to do four or five other Oaklands at the same time, like the Million Man March was. But, you know, this is things that are in the making, and I think what happened yesterday sets an example of how all the ports are supposed to be. And I say to members throughout the South that I've been talking to, where they find that their leadership It's not in tune with what's supposed to be going on. I say, do what you have to do. Follow your heart from your community to your job with your family and get this done, because it's not going in anywhere until we finish the job. Okay, thank you.
Brother, we appreciate that comment. I'm going to ask folks that we're going to take one more report, and then we're going to go into we're going to take two more reports. Then we're going to go into a more generalized discussion. If those folks are already in the line, you will still have a chance to make your comments. When I unmute you, please identify yourself also. And we have next up Brother Daryl Jordan. Daryl? Daryl, are you there? Okay, we're going to go to Brother J.R. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
We're doing well, brother. Yes, identify yourself again, brother, and go ahead with your report. Appreciate you.
This is J.R. Fleming, Chicago Anti-Eviction Campaign, organized with Occupy the Hood Chicago under the leadership of Brittany Galt, a dynamic young sister who just over this last weekend had the ability to convince the occupiers downtown in Chicago to go into a predominantly black community on the west side and a predominantly community of African descendants on the south side. And where we did two joint actions right around foreclosures. So we got the south side to support the west side and the west side to support the south side, and got the occupiers to actually support both actions as we're trying to remove this veil of racism that seems to be really discouraging a lot of people of color from participating. Outside of that, there's been a lot of organizing with the hip-hop community also. Had some folks from hip-hop occupiers in Chicago participate in them joint actions also. And we're going to actually do a panel this weekend for folks in the Chicagoland area at the University of Chicago. And this panel is called The Birth of a Nation. We got a lot of well-known folks, Rosa Clemente, they're going to be there, myself, and a lot of hip-hop legends in Chicago and across the country. Bakari Catuano is one of them. So we're moving forward. We're about to start releasing press releases from Occupy the Hood Chicago, specifying our issues with limited demands, of course, because we want to end the capitalism and a full recognition of human rights for human development. Outside of that, that's where we stand at in Chicago right now.
But we appreciate that report. We're going to go to Brother Bilal. Are you there, my brother?
Yes, I am. All right.
Brother,
this is Bilal Lee with Occupy LA and Occupy the Hood. Radical and revolutionary greetings to everyone. Yeah, briefly, I just wanted to talk about our march last night in solidarity with Oakland in a general strike. We led about 600 people out of Occupy Los Angeles, coupled with Occupy the Hood, in a unimproved, unpermanent march, and we strangled the traffic downtown of Los Angeles. We stopped and had many rallies at the banks that we identified on the march route. We have many rallies. We have 600 people. I would say 60% of those were represented by people of color. That was a great march. Again, the police couldn't do anything. We paralyzed the police. The police did issue an approved march with one of the conveners working closely with the police. We felt that we needed a permit, so we took our own route. And that's what we did to solidify our support with Oakland. We're in the process of Occupy the Hood, Los Angeles. We have our outside action assembly meetings outside Occupy LA and City Hall. Our last meeting last Sunday, we had 14 various hoods from around the city and area show up at the meeting and bought into the Occupy the Hood. We're going to center our occupation around the power centers and our oppressed community responsible for that oppression. Doesn't necessarily look like a big tent camp out all the time, because there's different conditions in different communities here. So we're going to be occupying the jails. We're going to be, I mean, literally, we're going to occupy outside of jail. We may go into an abandoned jail and squat. We're going to be occupying the welfare offices. The predatory lending institutions are communities like those same-day pay and check cashing scams and so forth. So we're on the move here with Occupy the L.A., Occupy the Hood. And that's my report.
We appreciate that, my brother. And it leads to, you know, we're going to talk about this some more as we go toward the end of the call, but I think these reports, you know, we need to make sure we get this stuff written up. And I think Brother Saladin is going to share with us where we should send that information to get it up on the website so people can get a chance to take a look at it and see the kind of motion that's developing across this country. We got Kwesi Nkrumah coming up now. Brother?
Yes, am I on?
You up. Identify yourself, my brother, and then share.
Yeah, this is Kwesi Nkrumah, also from Occupy the Hood here in L.A. And I just wanted to say, in addition to what Bilal was pointing out, that some of us who've been longtime activists here in the black movement, in the labor movement, et cetera, we went into the Occupy effort here very early, actually before it actually took off. And in the course of doing the work, we've actually developed a very strong presence within the Occupy movement as a whole. I mean, in addition to what we're doing in our own communities, we actually, I would say at this point, are probably the strongest organized tendency within the Occupy LA effort. Now, that's one side of it. The other side of it is the whole thing is very contradictory here in terms of a lot of the forces inside of there and what is happening with the occupation itself. I mean, we have one piece of it is the occupation ground around City Hall has become very chaotic. It drew a lot of hangers-on and people who wanted to be part of a happening more so than politically motivated, who've gone into the encampment to the point that they're actually probably the majority of those who are in the encampment as versus the activists. And it's causing a lot of problems around drug use, around violence in the camp, and a whole range of things. And that hasn't really been resolved yet. And I'm not sure it even can be, but one of the things that situation has created is one where not only are we becoming very strong in terms of being able to take our program out into the community, but many of the more serious activists in general with the LA movement of all colors, including the white activists who are serious, are beginning to look more toward our strategy of making the occupation movement a community-based movement rather than being focused so strongly downtown alone. And there are other aspects, but I wanted to mention that because I think that it's important for us not to underestimate the influence that we can have on that movement as a whole. And maybe we'll get into that later, but I just thought that should be known. And I think that as our movement in the community becomes stronger, this is really going to become a powerful movement here that's going to really rock some stuff. There's no question.
Brother, we appreciate that report. We're going to have this next last report from Sister Afia before Brother Menelik, who is a member of the Black Love Unity Network Collective, who's going to pose a question that will move us hopefully in a conversation that can address a number of the implications that have come out of these reports. So, Sister Afia, you are ready.
Thank you.
This is
Ifeah Wangaz in the Malcolm X Center, Occupy Greenville, South Carolina. And I'm reporting that the activities here are at a very early phase of development and a part of the issues that have arisen at this point are struggles around the level and the direction of political activity and whose issues or what issues are actually going to be advanced. Secondly, interestingly enough, white ministers, young white ministers who have a some history in traditional human rights organizations like Amnesty International and civil liberties organizations like the ACLU have come forward and are beginning to contact members of the black churches, religious community, to attempt to engage them in the efforts. We've had one black church that has responded positively based on my talking to them, to the minister there, about the House of the Lords march on Wall Street on last Sunday, representing the 35th anniversary of that church's original challenge to Wall Street. So it's, while the project is in its early stages and there is a vigorous struggle as to its direction, some constructive seeds have been laid and may well bear fruit. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Afia. We appreciate your comment and everyone's comments and reports. We're going to move into the next section where we can engage in a broader conversation. Folks can raise questions regarding what they may have already heard. To move us in that direction, I'm going to ask Brother Menelik to help us with that, with sort of a framing question that can help folks think about how we might want to move in this conversation. Brother Menelik, you are up.
Brother Menelik, step away for a minute. I'm keeping notes for
us. Brother Menelik stepped away?
Yes.
Okay. While that is happening, folks, the process, once we go into our conversation, we are going to ask you if you want to be recognized, that star one, and that will allow me to see you and allow you to participate. Brother Menelik, are you in place?
No, you stepped away for a minute. We should be back in like 5 minutes.
Okay, all right. So let me do this. Let me move to Sister Shaki, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello? Yes.
So that question that we can raise to move us into the conversation?
Well, I guess one question, you know, we would have from the Blunt is, you know, how black activists around the country feel that the black left can begin to act together and bring about a fusion between what's going on with the anti-capitalist sentiment of the Occupy Wall Street actions or movements that are going on around the country. And so how can we fuse that with, you know, the activities in the black community that we're dealing with? Can you hear me, Brother Jamal? Because I'm hearing a lot of background noise. I don't know if you can hear me.
We can hear you. Yeah, if you speak up a little bit, that's fine, yes.
Okay, speak up a little bit. But anyway, you know, trying to bring about, you know, what we're calling a fusion between the black community and actions in the black community and the anti-capitalism aspects of the anti-of the occupation movements, you know, and how do brothers and sisters feel about this? What are the things that we can do? And this to us would, you know, hopefully help to lead to establishing, you know, more of an identity, which is very much needed in this period of a national black liberation movement. So let's throw that out as a question so, you know, people can get comments and, you know, we can share our thoughts. And there may be other questions, too, that people have.
Sister Shaka, I appreciate that question. Again, folks, star one to address that question or any comments. But hopefully we can have a conversation that is along those lines, because I think that the question that Sister Shaki raised is a critical one. I mean, it's exciting to see the kind of motion and movement that people are involved in, but we've got to make sure that this emerging movement is really addressing the objective needs and interests of African people, in particular African working class folks. So star one to get into this conversation. We have Brother Saladin, who is Saladin, you're up.
Well, you know, I think that just listening to the reports, you know, and at least what this a national call has provided enables us to see how, you know, black activists, the black left, you know, is trying to engage all around the country in different places. And this is important, you know, for us to recognize that because, you know, too often we never have a sense, you know, that this is going on in terms, you know, of being able to share with each other, and et cetera. And what that raises to me is that if we can begin to act collectively around the country in a more coordinated way with some of our own slogans, and as Sister Shaki raised, you know, fusing the anti-capitalist sentiment, you know, in our slogans and in some very, very deliberate actions, then we can influence the character of this movement on a national level. The character is obviously being influenced in Oakland. A stronger working class and black presence is there. But what is always missing in terms of the consciousness of our people is to understand that there's a national direction, that there's a act of cooperation between black activists in moving, you know, in bringing forward the will of the black masses of people in this period around this question, and that give, you know, weight to the sentiment. So I really, really, really think, you know, that we need to find out how we can connect the things that we're doing that's being reported on these calls in a very intentional way, you know, so that it begins to reflect, you know, some degree of national coordination as a movement that's trying to end its fragmentation, mm-hmm. and to be engaged in this period in a more impacting way.
Appreciate that comment. Again, if you would like to make a comment, star one. Folks, get ready to get into this conversation. We're going to come back to you, and we have a couple of folks who are prepared to make comments. First, we have Carl Redwood. Please identify yourself and make your short comment.
Yeah, Carl Redwood from Pittsburgh. We have a People of Color Working Group for Occupy Pittsburgh. There have been a number of different meetings of the People of Color Working Group. The working group also associates itself with Occupy the Hood. There are a lot of activities like twice a week at least, protesting in different places around Pittsburgh. There was a solidarity rally and march with Occupy Oakland last night, about 300 people marching in the section of Pittsburgh called Oakland. One of of the things that comes up in the People of Color Working Group is we're really searching for organizational form to move forward as. Right now we identify ourselves as related to the Occupy Pittsburgh, but we really need to go beyond that in terms of what we're talking about. And I think what was just mentioned in terms of this organizational form with some kind of national character, we really need to figure out what that is. We've been looking at Occupy the Hood as a possibility, and that's where most people right now are leaning towards, although people have some reservations. But there's no national organizational form that's like a united front that we can relate to that does help to advance anti-imperialist perspective. And that's really all I have to share right now.
Well, appreciate that comment. Brother Sladeen, you'd like to respond to that comment?
Yes, this brother Carl Redwood, comrade I know well from Pittsburgh. If this is the same brother, how you doing? Glad you were able to be on. Well, you know, I think, you know, for example, you know, with you know, there's a kind of how do we get black left forces who are on this call and who forces can identify in their communities, you know. And when I say black left, I mean black activists right now. Obviously, you know, we got to grow another a real, you know, black left, you know, during this period where its thinking can be more anti-capitalist as well, you know. But how can we now, you know, move to do this? In Pittsburgh, for example, as Carl pointed out, people are meeting together and these kind of things. I would think, you know, that a step in this direction would be that we should be calling in each of our cities, you know, either people's power assemblies, you know, that begin, you know, to bring a character, you know, of the anti-capitalist sentiment, you know, being pushed out there, a character, you know, to our own communities, and then to include, you know, in these assemblies, you understand, you know, this feature of power, you know, so that, you know, the black left, you know, is working together to convene people's assemblies, people power assemblies in the areas, you know, where, you know, we're drawing community organizations, social movement organizations, you know, Revolutionary Party organizations, black organizations together to hammer out, you understand, what the targets are, you know, what the demands are. If we can do this, you know, around the country, and we could agree to do this, you know, coming out of this national dialogue, you know, from the Blund, from the Black Left Unity Network, then I think we begin to put in place, you know, the beginning of an infrastructure for a national forum, a national organization, a national movement, I think, as Carl, you know, says that folks are searching for. So I think, you know, that we may be in a position, you know, as we're listening to the various actions that are taking place, the various experiences, you know, the comrade from L.A., you understand, you know, how Clarence is talking about, you know, workers and the role that black workers are playing in that. I think we should move to call for these assemblies now, you know, as the launching pads, you understand, you know, for unifying, you know, this movement, this tendency in our own communities and among black workers, you understand, at the workplace to be able to influence the larger character. So I would suggest, you know, us, you know, looking at the feasibility of organizing, you know, people's power assemblies, you know, as the new form, you know, to unite us, you understand, and begin in black, you know, in oppressed people's communities.
I hope the folks get a chance to or feel compelled to respond to that very concrete proposal that Brother Saladin just shared with us. We're going to go to the next caller, Brother Charles Skewart. I hope that we can also, you know, maintain some gender balance in the voices that are being raised here on this call. So, Brother Charles, identify yourself. Again, folks, star one to be recognized. Charles?
I'm Charles Cruz in Jackson, Michigan. There's no real movement here yet. It's a small town. But as I've listened, what I have not heard is anyone identify the focus of this movement, which to me is should be directed toward corporate takeover of the country. What has been allowed in this country through our politicians is corporate power to just increase disproportionately to anything that I've ever heard of. Corporations are basically running the economy and putting people out of work because of what they do, what they're allowed to do. Since corporate personhood back in the mid-1880s, corporations have just gained power time after time, and no one in our government has done anything to stop it. This movement is what I think this should be about. That's all I have to say.
Brother, appreciate your comments. I'm sure that folks will respond to that. But I think that the sort of the general critique of capital and capitalism is really what people recognize that has to be developed for this movement, that there's a recognition that, in fact, there has been a rapacious corporate undermining of the ability of working people to live and to sustain themselves, and that the internal contradictions of this system is such that now there's this emerging movement, and we have to figure out how we ensure that movement develops a critical perspective on capitalism, so that the calls for reform are going to be informed, so that there won't be a sort of a liberal direction that will be looking at just reforming this process without dealing with the fundamentals that have created the situation that we face today in this country. So I think that this kind of critical perspective is what is needed, and it's what's being debated in terms of how we make sure that understanding is deepened within our communities. We have the next person, Robert Robinson, who's going to make his comments again to get into the conversation. Star one. Robert Robinson, are you there?
Yes, sir, John, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so I apologize for getting on and probably have to jump off real quick. This is Rob Robinson. I'm with the Take Back the Land movement, and I've a little bit of history.
Can you speak a little bit slower? Now.
Okay, so how about now? Can you hear me a little bit better?
That's better, yeah.
Okay, so I want to offer a little bit of hope based on what I've been observing from Occupy Wall Street here in New York City. I had one of the original organizers of this movement on the radio show that I do here in New York and asking me, particularly on the air, for help in organizing this thing and bringing people to this encampment. And I was kind of skeptical, and I met up with a lot of cynicism, and I kind of stayed away from there for a month. I finally made my way down there, and I'm starting to feel differently about what these folks have put together here in New York City. I see a strong effort to engage folks from all different communities and really make this a people's movement. And I have big respect for that. There's some national calls taking place where the different Occupy cities are getting on the phone and asking people to connect us to grassroots and people in communities of color that can help make this movement stronger. So I see some real efforts taking place. I like what Brother Saladin had to say, and I think, Saladin, some of these things are starting to take root especially here in New York. I'm proud to say I attend a lot of the assembly meetings on a regular basis. I've been asked to come in, and I've seen the community engage in a real way and folks starting to work together. For the gentleman from Michigan, I think capitalism is a target, and the corporate structures that are in place are a true target here. They've really forced some stuff here in New York with Mayor Bloomberg. They put metal cages up on Wall Street, and those folks turned the tourists against the mayor, and the tourists ended up making them take them away. Today's the first day they've taken it away. They've been able to close a business that existed on Wall Street because nobody was going there because of these cages. So I think there are some dynamics that are playing out here that are very interesting. I think there are opportunities for people of color and the Black Left movement to engage in a real way and to make a strong movement. And I'll also say that on these national calls, there are folks reaching out to make this a stronger move. Like, it's not about occupying a park. Maybe we need to occupy homes around the country and vacant spaces so that homeless people have a place to live. And the way this foreclosure crisis has impacted people, they see that as a methodology and a way to end the situation that's affecting a lot of people. People do have a human right to housing. So they've been given Take Back the Land the opportunity to train folks around the country. They ask us to take the lead on these phone calls a lot of times, and I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing coming out of New York City. So thank you.
Brother Rob, we appreciate that. I didn't recognize your name at first. You had your official name there, Robert. So thank you for sharing that with us. We have Sister Shaki, who is has a comment. Sister, you up.
Thanks, Brother Jamu. I'm just so impressed and inspired by all of the actions and activities that are just going on nationwide, and the sentiment that people are seem to be holding that we can do these assemblies, people's power assemblies around the country, and come back together. So I wanted to throw out also the possibility that we could look to hold, a national Black Liberation Movement conference or something from all of the Occupy motions around the country, maybe next spring, like next March or April or something, if we're holding these assemblies and, continuing, the work, and I mean, the general strike, all of these important, actions that people are doing, and this is just the beginning, us being able to come together around the country nationally, and hammer out, more of a program and a way to project, more of an organized, national Black movement, I think would be, would be one of the steps that we should also take. So I just wanted to throw that out as well to see if people think that might be also a part of the direction we could look to take over these next 6 to 8 months.
Appreciate those comments, Sister Shaki, and as we move toward the wrap-up, I think we want to review some of the concrete proposals that are being made. But before we get to that, I'm hoping that we could go back and address, those questions that question that you raised in terms of how do we make sure, what are the essential tasks of Black revolutionaries today as it relates to this emerging movement? How can we make sure that there in fact is that fusion that you talked about? I think that's a critical question I hope that we can get to, because all the activities and all of this is are very important, but how is this being grounded politically? How do we make sure that we can take advantage of this motion to develop and disseminate developing revolutionary program? So I'm hoping we can get back to that question. Again, *1 for comments and questions. We are looking for additional comments. And again, I hope that we can have someone else to follow up with Sister Shaki, her comments. *1. As we are moving toward, we have on the line now Rosalind. you are up. Thank you, my sister.
Good afternoon. This is Roz Pellis, and I'm with the AFL-CIO, and I was on the last call and on this one. And so I'm not sure that I could answer the big questions that are on the table, but I just wanted to share some of how I've been trying to support this movement, and I find that these conversations are very helpful. But from a national level, the AFL-CIO has gone on record to support this. And so what I've been doing is my work is really trying to, one, is to make sure that as we're talking about it, that our message about the Occupy movement makes sense to people of color and to African Americans, so that it's a message that includes a discussion about who's in the 99% and who's at the bottom there. So we're like, that's been a part of what I've been doing. But another part is really trying to figure out how to drive folks to this movement. You know, in my work, I work with a lot of the civil rights activists who are labor union members, and so I'm really trying to do that work to get people there. I think it will support and raise the level of folks, labor union members, if they are more involved in this anti-capitalist movement. So I wanted to just put that out there, just so people know I'm around this call and listening and trying to figure this out, and would love to talk more to labor activists offline or however we could do it. But I think that it's important to drive. There are thousands of people of color union members who work in their affiliates and who are civil rights activists in their communities, including our constituency groups, the A. Philip Randolph Institute and CBTU. So that's been my work, and so I just am appreciating these calls and trying to figure out how to do more and better at this. But right now, really understand and appreciating that we still have a situation where people of color are not coming to these occupies in numbers that would influence it and move it forward. And so part of what I've been doing is just trying to drive people to the sites and to give people a message that makes sense around it. I'm also working in the Washington Occupy on a limited basis, and it's very well organized here. There's still some issues around inclusion, but it's going pretty very well here, and there's some coming together around kind of national demonstrations. We had one today, and so the work is moving forward. So that's it. Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. A quick question. What's been some of the reluctance to participate from your point of view, and how were you able to, if there have been some reluctance, how did you overcome that to drive people toward the movement?
So I think it's not labor's reluctance. I think it's the reluctance that we're seeing around the country, and it's more kind of what we discussed what the discussion was last time, is that why is there not enough participation around the country? And I think like what we've summed up is that people don't see themselves, the message doesn't quite resonate. So when people are painting the picture, I mean, there's this anti-capitalist understanding of the world, and when people are painting the picture of the 99%, you know, people also want to hear kind of who's faring where in that 99%. You know, so I think it's about message, it's about other things, and I think I think some people aren't thinking about doing it. And so what we've been trying to do here, what I've been trying to do, is to really at least try to get people thinking that this is the place to be, this is the movement to be in, because it really is going to, the more we as labor union members are involved in that, I think the more it helps our labor union movement in general. I'm not sure if I'm making sense or not, but that's kind of thinking.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Star one for folks who would like to be recognized, and thank you again, my sister. We're going to take a couple of more comments before we begin to move toward closure. So I would strongly encourage folks to make your comments now. So star one, so that we could make sure that you get in and have a chance to participate. So I think that as we are waiting for the next round of comments, we should probably get ready to move toward closure. I'm going to ask Sister Shaki to repeat what she made, what she offered concretely, and then we're going to move toward the former closure of the call by Brother Saladin. So if that's all right, Sister Shaki, I'm going to ask you to restate your proposal.
Okay, I was tying it to Brother Saladin's proposal of holding the Black Left Forces meeting together in the various cities around the country, and holding continuing the activities that they're continuing, but being inclusive with each other and planning and holding people's power assemblies. That if we do that over the next several months, we could come together sometime next spring, maybe March or April, whenever people think it's reasonable, in a national meeting to reflect on what has been developed nationally, and then how do we hammer out some kind of a national identity program and perspective that gives the presence of a national movement. That gives it some identity to our people and our communities that we're a part of, moving, toward a continuing fight back that has the that's anti-imperialist and anti-capitalist in its expression. So that's my proposal, and I hope that folks will consider that. It just seems to us to make sense as a pretty natural next step.
Mm-hmm. Okay, appreciate that. Brother Kenneth?
Yes. I want to say that, again, from the reports and what people have added, it's clear that there's no one particular direction, one focus in regards to this. So the opportunity continues to exist for us to try to offer as much leadership to this that we possibly can and help it to have a focus and direction and organize in our communities as much as we can, as well as to recognize that there is a void as far as political intellectual leadership at this time. So we can get at. When I hear the question that's being raised as far as the 99% compared to the 1%, that next necessarily doesn't mean that people are opposed to capitalism. So the question of us pointing out the reason we have that 99% compared to that 1% is that capitalism is geared to work that way. And so I'm saying that there may be tremendous amount of people saying, yeah, this is a real issue, 1% compared to 99%, which is only the question of not raising the race, but it's the question of the class, but it still is not speaking to the question of being anti-capitalism that people understand. It's the economic system that we're talking about. One of the callers raised the question, it's capitalism and not corporation. Capitalism is those corporations that's dominating everything. And it's not a recent thing. It's been in the development since the development of capitalism. And when I hear people say, we don't want to be that 99%, we want more of what the 1% have, that doesn't mean you're anti-capitalism. That means that you want more of the piece of the pie, which is generally you're projected that's what you can get. If you apply yourself more, you can get more of that piece of the pie, which is the illusion that capitalism offers. So as and you can have a big 100 feet poster to say down with capitalism, and people ask you, well, what does that mean? So when the brother raised that issue, it made me think about Chavez over in Venezuela when he tried to explain to people when U.S. was trying to say, he's a socialist and he's anti-capitalism and he's bad for you. And he approached the question, you have to explain things. So you have to explain things so people can see this kind of economic system has more to offer you as an individual person, as a collective community, as a people in the country compared to the other side of capitalism, that if you don't have if you're not up in that upper class, then you won't get what you actually need. You won't have the medicalization. You won't be able to have the kind of homes that you would like to, with the kind of community that you need. It'll be lopsided in regards to the people who can operate in that system and get those the reward from it, to have it, and everybody else will have nothing, the haves and the have-nots. So I think this is open a lot of questions, but again, I say the door is open for us to give leadership here, to organize here, and offer our political and intellectual leadership when it's needed.
Brother, appreciate that comment. We're going to have one more comment from Brother Sam. Sam, identify yourself.
Yes, Sam Anderson, here in New York with Black Left Unity and other things. I just want to ditto Brother Saladin and Sister Shaki's call for this national effort to organize a gathering of Black Left forces. I also want to add that we, meaning those on the phone call and those who will be following up on other phone calls, we have to be on the alert, because this motion is rapidly unfolding and the repressive forces are rapidly responding. And so we have to find ways of staying alert and making sure that as we move towards a national gathering, that there is the ability to have a rapid response corps to handle some of the crisis issues that may come up, or some of the important victories that may come up in different areas that need to be replicated in other areas. So we need to keep that in mind. And the third thing I want to say to point out is what Brother Ken is talking about is something that we have to constantly be doing in our work every day, in terms of raising the political consciousness of our people. This system is a master of disconnecting the dots. And our children have gone through an educational system, and one of the purposes of the educational system is to disconnect the dots, is to make capitalism unconnected with slavery, unconnected with the enslavement of African people, and unconnected with poverty in your community. So this is the moment on a national scale for Black Left forces to reinvest, let's say, in political education in many different ways over the next several months.
Appreciate those comments, Sam. I think that you're right. You're right on the money with that analysis. While we have you, Sam, and before we now turn to Saladin to close us out, could you share with us the ways in which folks can both join the listserv and how and where they should send information, their reports or whatever in terms of the website?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought I hung up. Okay. We have a website, blackleftunity.org, and any information can be sent to me at blackeducator@me.com, me meaning M-E, M as in mother, E as in everything. Any of the updates, any of the reports, and so forth, please send it to me, and then I will post them. I've been waiting. I only had like one or two. It didn't make sense that we would post one or two of them up there on the site, because there's a lot happening all over the country, as we heard today. So any of those reports, please do that. And then those of you, I assume somebody has the email addresses of everybody who was on this call. And once I get that, then I can put people on the Black Left Unity listserv.
Okay. Is there a way in which people can elect to join the listserv?
Yes, but the simplest thing is just send me your email address, and I'll do it. It's much simpler that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, appreciate that, Sam. And we're going to go ahead and move toward Saladin, who's going to provide a closing to our call this afternoon. So, Saladin?
Well, you know, comrades, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, I just, you know, listen even to the last report, you know, the reports, comments made by Sister Rise, been a consistent fighter, about, you know, the kind of coming forward, you know, of, you know, black workers, black trade unionists, you know, in this period of this motion. First of all, I think it's important that our people, you understand, and I think, you know, most, you know, working class people are influenced by national trends, by some expression that this is a national motion. We have not yet, you understand, you know, as the black left, you know, been able to give the identity that this is a national motion, you understand, you know, in our community, developing in our consciousness, you understand, you know, and reflecting our will, you understand, as an oppressed people, the most exploited, you know, in the working class, you know, and oppressed, you know, in this country. So we will have an unevenness to how the Occupy movements, you know, will be transformed. You know, we might have it begin to see something in Oakland. We might be able to see something here and there, you know, but it still does not identify the black masses as a social force, you know, able, you know, to act in this period as a mass-based movement. It is extremely important, then, that all of us here recognize, you know, that however hard we are working in our individual areas and receiving some successes, you know, that without this national push, this identity of a national trend, even these local efforts, you understand, you know, are still not going to be as successful and as impactful as they can. The Occupation Wall Street thing, you understand, is rapidly spreading as a national trend. You know, therefore, we have to act that way, you know, to influence the character in that way. Therefore, I think, you know, how do we take steps in that direction? How do we take steps in that direction together so that our collective actions begin a process of unfolding a national trend? Again, I think, you know, that black activists, organizations, you know, et cetera, in the different areas, you know, certainly starting from those on the call, need to take the lead to reach out, you understand, to each other in these areas and to plan together how to organize these assemblies that will draw deeper and wider involvement, you know, in the black community, you know, in this movement. And I think if we could, for example, show in the next month, you know, 15 cities, you know, that have engaged in this, projected out, you know, use the social media that we can attract, you know, the corporate, you know, the mainstream media, if we can, you understand, you know, then I think we will begin to foster a national trend, you know, that, you know, could help to drive, you know, black people, particularly the black working class, employed and unemployed, from the unions, from the unemployed, from our community and social movements, you understand, to begin to express, you know, the character of this struggle, you know, that we know will propel it forward. And I'll close on this. You know, some of us are old enough to remember, you know, the student movement, the white student movement, SDS, and these things, you know. But it wasn't until they got in contact with SNCC and these kinds of things, and then they went back. They became much more political. They were white middle class forces, you know. Some would might have even called hippies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what was different then than now? We had a semblance of a national movement. We had a civil rights movement. We had a movement that was national in character, you understand, that would express the will of our people, you understand, to have democracy, to have civil rights, to have power. We don't have that now, brothers and sisters. You know, so thinking, you know, that we can influence this without thinking about how to act together, you know, to begin to show a direction, you know, by convening in 15 or 20 cities around the country, you know, I think, you know, we will have an expectation about transforming this thing that's unreal unless we're able to act together. And I think that this dialogue, I've heard somebody say, oh, this is a talk shop. No, it's not a talk shop. It's a connecting framework. It's an ability, you understand, to reach out and to connect forces who don't know each other, who don't talk to each other, you understand, together to begin to show, you understand, that there is a movement, you know. But what's problematic with this movement is that it's fragmented and it does not have, you understand, you know, a way, you understand, you know, to show the connections, to identify points of unities, and to offer, you understand, proposals, you know, for acting together. So this is what the Blund, you know, is trying to do, and I would ask, you understand, us to really consider, and maybe in 5 minutes, if that's okay with the moderator, to get a yay or nay, maybe, you know, it don't have to be yay or nay, expression of whether people feel that they can convene, you know, in the various cities where they're at, reaching out to other black activists, organizations, et cetera, to begin to establish these assemblies, you know, as the identity of a launching pad, you know, for our movement.
Appreciate that, Brother Saladin. I think the only way we could probably identify that would be that if folks are prepared to state that they're going to attempt to take this on, if you hit star one, we'll recognize you and you can make your very brief comment in a matter of a few seconds, because this call is just about over in terms of the time limit. So if
we could mute everybody and people could say yeah, yeah, nay. That may be a little quicker.
Okay, can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
So, folks, just please restrict your answer to Saladin's questions because time is short. And this is Kali Akuno with U.S. Human Rights Network and Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. I think I support it 100%. Other folks, you can just speak up. Yes. You know, to express your sense of will.
My name is Khalid Abdullah. I work with a few organizations in the Chicagoland area, including a conglomerate of various organizations referred to as Chicago iPad, and I will be taking these matters to the collective.
Anybody else?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. This is Ifia Wangaza. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. We had an assembly in October and have one scheduled for the first Saturday in December, and we fully intend to integrate that the existing process into the proposed process.
Appreciate that. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's go ahead and close this out. Once said, and thank everybody who hung in and participated. We're going to, again, want to thank everybody who hung on and who participated. We want to make sure that everybody knows that there will be a link that you can go to, and you can actually listen to the conversation once again. I'll let Kali talk about that in a second. I think one of the things that we didn't talk about that maybe I'll raise now has been requested that we provide another opportunity in about a month or so for folks to come back together again and check in. I would suggest that that's something we ought to consider. So we'll send out a communication to folks and see what date might be a good date sometime in early December to, in fact, maybe do that. Brother Kali, how about that link? How is that going to work?
Folks can find the link to the recording of this conference call at the U.S. Human Rights Network website, which is simply www.ushrnetwork.org. We'll make sure to have that up no later than Monday. It will probably go up sometime tomorrow, and we will email that out to all of you individually, put it on the Blacklist listservs and several other listservs so folks can kind of spread the word to other contacts and comrades who may not have been able to make this particular call so we can keep the network building.
And we'd like to I want to thank Brother Kali for his assistance with this the technical part of this call. I really appreciate that. And to thank the U.S. Human Rights Network for providing the co-sponsorship and the foundation for this call also. And thank all of you for being a part of this. I think we're making history. And I want to strongly encourage everybody who's not a part of the listserv to in fact join the listserv so you can continue to get information and to share information with everybody who is on this call and people beyond this call. So thanks a lot, everybody, and we'll be in contact in the near future. Thank you.